You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. We got a special guest coming your way. We're going to continue our minor league recaps with Steve Wendt, voice of the 66ers. Before we get to him, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Like I said, we're going to continue our minor league recaps with Steve Wendt, voice of the Inland Empire 66ers, as we head down on the farm.
Welcome to the farm. Daddy won't sell the farm.
Like we said, we have Steve Wendt, voice of the Inland Empire 66ers, joining us here on the show. Steve, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Taylor. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. I don't know why it took so long to have you on the show. I mean, I've seen you a plenty of times this year, and for some reason, we had to wait until the season was over to chat.
I'm very forgettable.
No, not at all. For those of you that are unfamiliar with Steve, he is the voice of the Inland Empire 66ers, the Angels' high-A affiliate. One of my favorite broadcasters in the minors, if not my favorite broadcaster in the minors. I listen to Steve more than I listen to anyone else. Steve, coming into the year, the Inland Empire 66ers, it looked like their starting rotation was going to be really the talk of the town between Aaron Hernandez, Kyle Bradish, Chris Rodriguez. But there was one guy, actually two guys, that kind of came out of nowhere that really surprised a lot of people in Oliver Ortega and Denny Brady. What can you tell us about those two?
I agree with you, the excitement about the other guys. But, Oliver, first things first, I mean, it's just a legit big-time arm, you know? I mean, it's an easy mid-to-high 90s fastball, a great changeup, and the curveball's outstanding as well. So you have a three-pitch mix that in the low minors is going to carve them up, you know? I'm not in the business of projecting guys, but the fact of the matter is it's a big arm with good stuff, and for him it's a matter of just throwing strikes, and again, that's what the minors are for. But you know, he'd had injury issues earlier, and so I think we're kind of seeing what some of the Angels people saw glimpses of and didn't really want to necessarily advertise. You know, they were, you know, you don't want to spoil it. It's like talking about a no-hitter if you're sitting on the bench in the dugout. You know, you don't want to spoil it, you don't want to jinx anything, but We saw really good stuff. And one thing I was really impressed with Oliver was when we had the All-Star game here at San Manuel Stadium in June, they asked him just, you know, it's an All-Star game, you go and throw one inning. Boy, he was breathing fire, throwing strikes, and it looked like he reveled in the opportunity to show people, hey, I'm one of these guys. I'm an All-Star. I'm that guy. So that was fun to watch. It was just fun to watch him progress, and I thought, you know, his command got better as the year went on, and I think that's the whole point. Denny's interesting. Denny's an interesting pitcher, and I think he was really under the radar, and still I think is. But high strikeout totals, you know, I will say this, there always seemed to be, and this goes for Oliver a little bit too, there was always, when games went south, it was one inning. It was, a decision that was maybe not the best decision, a pitch to throw, and then it kind of snowballed on him in one inning. But each of them had outings where that happened, but because, you know, the way the Angels work, hey, you still got 30 pitches, so go back out there. They then performed after that. So, some of the minors is also just learning what you can and can't do, what is a good decision, what's a bad decision. And as you get older, as you get more polished, you know, that's because you probably made some bad decisions early on and you've learned from them.
Now, I brought up Chris Rodriguez, and it's a real shame that we didn't get to see him as much as we'd like to with the injury, with the back surgery. But you did get to see Aaron Hernandez quite a bit and Kyle Bradish a little bit too, who had a little bit more excitement than the two we talked about earlier. Were they as exciting as you expected them to be this year?
Yeah, but, you know, there's a difference, though. Neither one of them had pitched in a pro game yet. And so we saw some of the bumps and bruises at times that, you know, normally guys get in Orem, you know, when they're coming out of being drafted in college. And these guys were shut down the year they were drafted. So they still had to kind of get through that that little rust, if you will. But nonetheless, we saw really nice stuff. Bradish is very interesting. You know, everyone talks about velocity, 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 but, you know, there's a reason why they talk about spin rate and things like that. And his ball really rides. He can pitch up in the zone at 91. You know, that's not common. And so there's something special about his stuff. And he's got a little cut on that fastball. And I don't think it's necessarily that by design. I think it's just a little gift from nature. But, you know, Kyle is super competitive. And he could rack up the strikeout totals. Aaron's interesting to me also. He battled some blister issues, and I think that curtailed some of his development this year. But he throws four pitches, and they're all nice pitches. So, you know, he can bring a lot of weapons out there, and when he's on, he's really on. And the changeup, I didn't really realize that the changeup was going to be, in my opinion, his best pitch. And it, to me, that was the pitch that I kind of would scratch my head sometimes and say, wow, did that just happen? How much drop on that changeup that he was getting swings and misses from lefties and righties on it.
Now, Steve, it's pretty rare that sometimes, you know, you'll see a guy that's the save leader for the team, and he's got about 40, 50, 60 innings. Cooper Criswell led the team in saves, if I believe I believe I'm right there, but he also led the team in innings pitched. He seemed like an absolute workhorse for this team.
Yeah, no, he didn't get any saves.
And you know what? That's on me. No. I'm thinking of Nate Burtness for whatever.
Nate Burtness, yeah.
They're kind of the same guy from different sides, right?
there are some similarities. Both 6'6", both threw a lot of innings. But yeah, Nate actually kind of morphed into that role towards the end of the year, getting the saves. But Cooper did a nice job. But just as the year progressed, he at the start of the year he was just throwing kind of a sweeping breaking ball. And then, I don't know, maybe a month and a half in, maybe a little less than that, he started throwing more of a overhand curve also to mix in with that sweeping breaking ball with his low arm slot. And so then the lefties had to be honest, and it was fun to watch him. He's a really smart pitcher, good stuff, command. And he also, it's funny, he has kind of a big league air about him. He is very he's very unaffected by things. He's very calm. It's an interesting kind of coolness that he has. I'm not saying he's aloof, but he is just, he doesn't get riled up. And so he was also like Bradish and like Hernandez, where, you know, they were in their first pro season, because he was one of those guys who was shut down after he was drafted too. And he was so calm and cool. And so it was fun to watch him progress. He was really, you know, his numbers maybe weren't like electric numbers, and he doesn't light up the radar, but you kind of felt good when you saw Criswell was going to pitch that game. Like, you know, the team didn't have a lot of wins this year, but when you're kind of in a bad stretch and you're like, well, Criswell will go out there and give you four or five strong innings. And so he's one of those guys that you can count on.
Now,
Burness kind of came out of nowhere in that role. But he's similar, where he works at his own pace. There's no real rush when Nate works, but, you know, Nate was fantastic. And you look at Nate's numbers, you know, the ERA was 4.76. We had a couple outings that just exploded that. But all his numbers were great. I mean, he 49 hits in 62 and a third innings, 70 strikeouts over 62 and a third innings. You know, and he was 5 of 6 in save chances. He really was an interesting pitcher this year. I it's hard to put your finger on why he's so successful, but he is.
Yeah, and I feel so dumb saying, you know, innings pitched, and that was a total blunder. But I did confuse myself with the two, because that Nate is just such an interesting case. The way he pitches and that big loopy curveball, the fastball is not a, you know, high velocity pitch, but really exciting guys. We've mentioned a handful of pitchers here. Steve, is there anyone that you're kind of, that I maybe forgot here to ask you about that you're remembering, and someone that kind of surprised you this year?
I don't know if I'd necessarily say that. You know, we had a lot of guys come through. And so, you know, I think to me, the guy, and granted, he only had a handful of outings for us, but it was early in the season. Isaac Madsen is a guy that, for me, was really interesting. You know, I liked him when he came up at the end of last year, and this year he was untouchable. And it's still, he's similar to Bradish in the sense that it's not 98 miles per hour, but he gets tons of swings and misses. So he's an interesting guy. You know, with pitchers, it's so hard. Andrew Wance is a guy that was a kind of a polished guy that moved out of here quick, who had great numbers, ended up named an all-star, but he got promoted before he could participate in the game. And that's pretty good. Jake Lee is a guy who unfortunately got a little banged up, but he was throwing the ball well when he was with Inland Empire. So the pitchers, boy, you just kind of, you don't know, you know, you just got to keep getting them out there. But those are some names that, you know, obviously we only have so much time, but I thought they all threw the ball really well for Inland Empire while they were here.
Speaking of time, Steve, we got to take a break. You mind staying on with us, talking a little bit about the hitters here after into our second segment?
My pleasure.
Now, before we head to our second segment, we got to talk about Postmates. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service, all year round. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels and Steve Wynn of the 66ers right after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, as well as Steve Wendt, voice of the 66ers. Steve, in our first segment, we were talking about pitchers here. I kind of want to talk about some hitters. Now, it wasn't like an exceedingly great year for the hitters when it came to the 66ers, but there was some guys that really showed some intrigue. I want to start with the man that almost mythical numbers in Gareth Morgan.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Gareth ended up with Inland Empire hitting 20 home runs in 44 games. And actually, one of those games is as a pinch hitter, and he didn't hit a home run. And one was as a pinch runner, believe it or not. So really, that was in 42 games. He had 20 homers. And it's very intriguing. We saw him at the start of the year with Modesto before he got let go. And I even told him, I said, man, I mean, You just looked like you were whipped. You know, he was so out of it. I think if ever there was a change of scenery that was needed, it was for Gareth. And that's nothing against the Mariners. It's just, you know, he's such a high strikeout guy, and I think we're all very guilty of seeing someone's negatives when we're close to him every day. But Gareth has the term unbridled power. It's unimaginable how hard and far this guy hits the ball. And so, you know, he got a fresh change of scenery. He got new voices in his ear, even if they're saying the same type of thing, but just maybe in a little different way. And so while he still struck out a lot while he was with Inland Empire, he was no out. He was not an out when he looked at the lineup and said, oh, okay, just be careful. Don't make one mistake to this guy. Other than that, spin some breaking balls in the dirt. He's an out. That's not how his at-bats went when he was with Inland Empire. It was about as good a month as I've ever seen anyone have.
Yeah, and just the strikeouts were so interesting, but the fact that he was making every time he hit the ball, it was such hard contact, and it fell, and if it didn't fall over the fence, it was driving away a hole through the fence. So,
yeah.
There was one guy that I found really interesting, and you've seen him for 2 years now, and he struggled mightily to start the year, and out of nowhere just turned it on, was Jordan Zimmermann, and he earned a call-up to Double-A, and he did well to finish the year there, but Jordan Zimmermann really flipped a switch right in the middle of the season there.
Yeah, I know just from observing, I know that Jordan was doing a lot of work with his swing, and so that takes time to adjust. And maybe be frank, I mean, he was a pro every single day. He was a guy you could count on, and his glove always showed up to work. But, you know, I mean, he put up a pretty good year the year before, and I think, you know, not being in Double-A, you know, at the start of the year, if you don't get a couple knocks the first few days, all of a sudden you're looking at those numbers and you're saying, oh man, you know, how am I ever going to get up there? And you start digging yourself a deeper hole. But Zim's always been a guy who hits the ball hard. And so I think that for him, it's just he's kind of streaky, and he started off the year on a bad streak and had to dig himself out of it. But day in and day out, you know that Zim's going to come to play. So I was really excited for him to get that promotion to Double-A.
Now, I kind of want your opinion on this. You had about three or four guys that really showed up and put in consistent offensive performances between Zane Gerwitz, Orlando Martinez, Franklin Torres, and Michael Stefanik. I knew I'd slip up on that one. Out of those four guys, who would you say maybe was the most consistent? I mean, you can say all four of them if you want, but out of those four guys.
Well, they were all a little different. And you know, it's funny. I don't know if consistency is necessarily a way I would describe any of them. At least their performance this year, for Zane Gerwitz, you know, he was getting bounced all over the organization. We were up in San Jose, early in the year and Salt Lake, the AAA club was in Reno, and they sent him up because they needed backup. So they sent him, you know, that's a 3-hour ride up there. It's a flight for him from San Jose to Reno. And he was supposed to come back the next day or even that night. And then there was another injury and he ended up in Mobile for 3 weeks, came back to us for a week, went back to Mobile, then came back to us. So he was all over the map, literally. But consistently, I guess when he was in the lineup for the Sixers, he did the job. But he also played left field, a really good left field. He plays a nice third base, good arm. Played second, so Zane might have maybe been the most consistent in terms of you know, you knew you were going to get a 1-for-4 or a 2-for-4 out of him each night. You know, Franklin Torres had a weird year simply because he was transitioning to catcher, and I think it was a hastened decision to do it. I don't mean hasty, but I mean I think they were hoping to maybe do it in August, and they ended up doing it early in the season because he was showing so much progress catching bullpens. But you know, you'd think that affect the bat, but he still put up good offensive numbers, so I was impressed with his year. Mike Stefanik is an interesting guy. He was a non-drafted free agent out of Westmont College up in Montecito. If you've ever been to Montecito, you wonder why anyone wouldn't want to stay in school forever. But Mike, you know, Mike was a guy that I think was called up. He had good numbers in Burlington, but I don't know if they were expecting him to be an everyday guy up here, and he was. You know, just good, tough at bats. Hits righties better than lefties, kind of an unusual split because he's a right-handed hitter. But played well, played really well. And you know, I don't know if the arm is necessarily going to be a shortstop arm at higher levels, but it, you know, he was able to night in and night out to make some plays, and so he had a good year. The Martinez is interesting. Orlando, unfortunately his season was abbreviated by a broken hand. But when he came back, boy, he really hit the ball well. And other than a little lull, 2 weeks out towards the end of the season, he fired it back up at the end of the year. And boy, he hits the ball hard. He's a good outfielder. He just kind of has that look, the polished look, the guy who knows what's happening. He understands what pitchers are trying to do to him. So, you know, when you see him, you go, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. That's what they look like. So, you know, he'll just have to keep working hard, but he's a nice player.
And the thing I like about Orlando is, you know, he's from Cuba, and he's only been removed from the island just a few years here. He's only 21 years old, kind of his first full year in the United States in a sense. I know he was here the year before, but the way he carried himself was just really impressive. Now, I got to ask you about this. You put up a picture of you had someone in the booth with you on July 4th. How are the girls doing?
Oh, yeah. They're in the booth a lot. My daughter Sloan is 5 and Grace will be 3 in just a couple weeks, and they're doing great. I got to be honest, you feel guilty working in baseball how much time you spend away from them, but my wife Emma does an amazing job making sure that we get to see each other and bringing them to the ballpark, and I get every once in a while they'll sit in, and you know, I turn the microphone down, but they think they're on the air, and it works out well.
See, your girls are so cool, and I wanted to use this in a segue. You get to see them grow consistently, but over the years, the last few years here, you've seen the Angels farm system grow consistently. And the final week of the season, you got to see another first rounder in Jordan Adams. I know it was a very small sample, but what did Jordan Adams kind of look like when it came to a 19-year-old in his first full season of pro ball?
Yeah, he looked like a first rounder in terms of how he looks. I mean, wow, the kid's put together. He is an impressive athlete. We saw him the last few days of the season. He hit a ball out of the ballpark to right field. I mean, he just smoked it. We saw a couple extra base hits, a double, a triple. I think what you see is a guy who's still a little raw, but the tools are definitely there. So I'm excited to watch him progress. You know, I was glad to see him get a stretch of a week and a half of games at a higher level. I always think that's such a smart thing for teams to do, to promote a guy at the end of the year and give him that taste and re-energize him. He's probably going to go to instructs, and sometimes guys mope into that. They're tired and they had a long season, but when you get that late season promotion to a higher level, even if it's for a short amount of time, I always see guys reinvigorated. So I think Jordan definitely will fall into that category. He definitely had some electricity in this game by the time he got to Inland Empire, rather than slugging through the end of the Midwest League. And nothing against the Midwest League, but when you've been there all year, you know, you're looking at that light at the end of the tunnel, getting to leave. The season's over. I get to go home. But you get the promotion, and you get almost a rebirth. So I was excited to see that for him.
Steve, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Like I said, I don't know why I didn't have you on earlier in the season, but thank you so much for coming on. So what's next? Is this Go Gauchos time?
I will be doing UC Santa Barbara basketball, my alma mater. I always love doing that. That'll come up in November. In the meantime, it's minor league baseball, so if you guys know anyone who wants to buy an outfield billboard, let me know, and I'll be happy to provide you some space here at Seminole Stadium.
You can find Steve on Twitter, @Steve_Went. Steve, I'm going to be up in Santa Barbara in November. That's actually, so my wife and I decided we're always going to go up the coast for our anniversary on the November 4th, so I might have to talk her into going to a basketball game if I get a chance.
Well, I mean, that would be nice if I were married to you, but I think you might want to rethink that plan.
Yeah. See, I come to you for baseball advice, marital advice. You're the man, Steve. So thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Talk to you later.
Steve Went. I enjoyed talking to him so much. He's such a great guy. Like I said, you want to follow him on Twitter, it's @Steve_Went. And hey, you want to buy a sign in the outfield at 66ers, he's the man with the hookup. So, I'd do it. Let's see if I can muster up some cash and just put a TBW sign, a Locked On Angels sign in the outfield at San Manuel Stadium. I love it. So, Steve, gosh, awesome having him on. Thank you, Steve Went, for coming on. Thank you to you for tuning in. That's all we have for today's show. Reminder to follow us on Twitter @LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally @TaylorBlakeWard. If you want to follow today's guest, you can head over to Twitter and follow him @Steve_Went. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app, free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for Locked On Angels. I'm Taylor Blake Ward. Stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.